Glad to see everyone back with us this evening. Have your Bibles. Let's be turning over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. As we have the majority of our college students back, as they'll begin school and classes tomorrow, we're happy to have each one of them. But tonight would be fitting to have a lesson that might make us all consider, what does it mean to be a Christian? As our students go back to school, both in college and in high school, they're going to be facing somewhat or some type of opposition, whether it's from their science teachers or from peers, whatever it may be. And so it may be good for us to consider this question tonight. What does it mean to be a Christian? And hopefully as we go through this study tonight and we begin to look at all these verses, maybe when we face those oppositions, maybe, just maybe, we can recall these texts to mind and be encouraged to remain faithful, to remember what it is to be a Christian, to be able to rely upon Christ, to be able to lean upon Him, and to know that we can endure until that last day, that judgment day, when we shall be able to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's read together Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1 down through verse 6. Paul writing says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." Friends, we have here a text, writing to the Colossians, Paul writing unto them. He basically states here, you know what it means to be a Christian. Notice that he says here, begins his text, "If ye then be risen with Christ." Here's the statement. If simply meaning you are risen with Christ, and you should do this. They were risen with Christ through baptism into Christ. We see that in Colossians 2 and verse 12, where we read, "Buried with Him in baptism." Buried with Christ in baptism then. "Wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead." And so they were baptized, or they were risen with Christ through baptism into Christ. We see that again in Romans chapter 6, 1 through 6. "For as many of us as were baptized, were baptized into Christ." Notice as well that as they were risen with Christ, they were to conduct their lives a certain way. Notice that Paul writes to them there in verse 2 that they were to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. He also says mortify, meaning put to death the life you once lived, verses 5 through 7. Now, these brethren in Colossae understood what it meant to be a Christian. It means that one leaves one way of living and lives the right way. Friends, do you ever wonder what it means to be a Christian? You ever wonder, am I doing what I should? You know, sometimes we forget because we get so busy in life. Outside worldly things affect us. Temptations chip away at our desired faithfulness. And so we need to be reminded of this great blessing, what it means to be a Christian. We need to be reminded from time to time of the great blessing it is that in that the Christian is saved. Acts 2 and verse 47. "Added to them daily such as were being saved." And we need to remember that the great blessing in that it is a biblical name that is Christian. Acts 11 and verse 26, there they were called Christians first at Antioch. That was a God-given name. And so let us consider this evening what this blessing means. What does it mean to be a Christian? Number one, it means that Christ is in you. Christ is in you. Look over at Colossians chapter 1 and notice with me verses 26 and 27. Paul writes there, beginning of verse 26, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Notice this next phrase, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Friends, Christ is in us, and we preach Him that He may be in others. As we go back to school, as we go back tomorrow or Monday to our jobs, people ought to be able to see Christ in us. Notice with me John chapter 15. John 15, I want you to notice with me verses 1 through 8. John 15, 1 through 8. Here Jesus gives the analogy of He being the true vine and His disciples being the branches. Beginning there in verse 1, we read, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now notice verse 8 here. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now, what does it mean to be a Christian? Friends, it means that Christ is in us. We are to abide in the vine as the branch abides in the vine. What can the branch do apart from the vine? Not a thing. It can't bear fruit. It'll eventually wither and die. And Jesus says there that what do men do with those branches? Gather them and cast them into the fire. Do you see the analogy? Christ is very clear on this. We must abide in Him and He in us. It is by that that we are His disciples. Now, what's the application? Friends, Christ in us makes Jesus our life. He being in us means He is to be our life. We are to live for Him. We are to present, as Paul writes to the Romans, to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Christ is to be seen in us each and every day. What does it mean to be a Christian? Number two, it means you have the mind of Christ. Let's turn over to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Means that you have the mind of Christ. First of all, we are to have, if we're going to have the mind of Christ, we are to have a mind of humility. Begin reading with me in verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, we read, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Friends, we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We are to have a mind of humility if we're going to have the mind of Christ, not thinking too highly of ourselves. But also, continuing there in verse 5, having the mind of Christ, notice what he says here. Let this mind be in you, notice what he says, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. What kind of mindset are we to have? What kind of mind are we to have? We see it right here, friends. We are to have the mind of Christ, that mind of humility. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friends, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means that we have the mind of Christ. We have that mind of humility. We have a mind of compassion. Again, John 3 and verse 16 says what? It's a verse that we're all familiar with. For God so loved the world. Friends, He loved you enough. He loved me enough to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friends, He died the death upon the cross that we might have that opportunity of salvation. And if we are going to be Christians, friends, it means that we need to have a mind of compassion. But we don't stop there, friends. If we're going to have the mind of Jesus, we are to have a mind of forgiveness. Luke 17, 3 and verse 4. Where would we be, friends, without forgiveness? We'd be lost. We'd have no hope. But Jesus offers us that forgiveness by dying upon the cross. We read there in Luke 17, 3 and 4, these words. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Do we have that type of mind? That mindset that is willing to forgive. Jesus carried that mindset with Him to the cross. As He hung there dying, He looked out upon the crowd and He said to His Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen as much as echoed those words as he was being stoned to death. That mindset of forgiveness. Friends, we must have a mind like Christ and have a mind of forgiveness. With Christ in us, we must think and conduct ourselves like Him, like Jesus. And what that means is we have His mind. We have that mind of humility. We have that mind of compassion. We have that mind of forgiveness. And then can we be truly Christ-like? What does it mean to be a Christian? Number three, it means you have been crucified with Christ. We often sing this verse, Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I've been crucified with Christ. What does it mean to be a Christian? Then it means I have been crucified with Him. But what does it mean then? What should this mean to us? Friends, a crucified man looks in one direction. He can't look in any other. And so if we are going to be crucified with Christ, we must look in one direction, friends. We must look up toward heaven. We must press on toward the mark. A crucified man looks for hope. And a crucified man knows what crimes were committed. Friends, we, as crucified with Christ, we look in one direction. Should look in one direction. That is above. We look toward heaven. We look for hope, Romans 8 and verse 24. And friends, we should know the crime, sin, for which Christ died. We should crucify, as we read there in Colossians 3, 1 through 6, mortify the things of this mortal body. Put them away. Why return to the past when we have such a bright future, such a great future? In heaven with Jesus. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means we have been crucified with Christ. We put off our former lives. We put off the things of this world. And we give our lives unto Christ. What does it mean to be a Christian? Number four. Friends, if we're going to be a Christian, it means that we put on the armor of God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Notice with me this armor that Paul describes, beginning in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. We read that beginning there, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always and with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Friends, what we read here is of that armor. The Christian must be prepared for battle, a spiritual battle. We must use the Word of God in such a way. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." We must be ready. We must be prepared for that spiritual battle that we face every day. We must have on a complete armor. I would challenge, especially our college students, to go and Google. Go and look up the Roman armor that they had to wear getting ready for battle. Notice the shield. Notice their helmet. Notice the girdle that they wore. Those things that they had to have on to prepare for battle. And then begin to think what that means to the Christian as Paul laid it out here for us. He described for us a complete soldier. One that was ready in all facets, ready for battle. Ready to go to war. Are you ready? Have you put on the whole armor of God? This armor was also referred to as the armor of light in Romans 13 and verse 12. Referred to as the armor of righteousness, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 7. What soldier in his right mind would have gone to battle without his armor? Without being fully prepared, without being fully protected. If we're going to have the whole armor of God, if we're going to be a Christian, we must have the full armor on. The panoplia, the completeness, a Greek word from which we get panoply, as we sing in a song, as used in that song, "Soldiers of Christ Arise." That whole armor, the complete armor, leave nothing off. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means you've put on the armor of God. Then finally, what does it mean to be a Christian? Number five, it means salvation and a reward in heaven. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, and I want you to notice with me beginning in verse 31. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31. "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, 'Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. And I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me.' Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, 'Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, and in prison, and came unto thee?' And the King shall answer, and say unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me.'" Friends, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means salvation and a reward in heaven. As Jesus sits there upon His throne, upon the right hand of God, and He separates the sheep from the goats, which are you going to be? Are you going to be on the right, to whom He will say, "Come, you blessed of My Father"? If we are a Christian, friends, that's exactly what will happen. We can look forward to that reward in heaven. Let's look at one more verse. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Begin reading with me in verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Paul, as he writes, as he concludes this particular letter to Timothy, he's getting ready to face death, as we'll notice here in just a moment. He's come to the end of the road, so to speak. And he begins to write here, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." But notice what he says in verses 7 and 8. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." He hasn't quit his fight. But notice now, verse 8, to that which he looks forward. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Friends, will you be counted as Paul? Will you be ready at any moment? Do you look forward tonight to that reward of heaven? Friends, we look forward to so, so much with heaven in the waiting. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. Be ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. So what does it mean to be a Christian? As you go back to school, those challenges that you face, let's remember these things. Let's remember what it means to be a Christian. It means that Christ is in you. As we consider these things once more, is Christ in you today? Have you obeyed the gospel? By hearing His Word, by believing in Jesus Christ that He came to this earth and bled and died for you. Have you repented of your sin? Have you confessed His name before men? Have you been baptized in water for the remission of sins? Have you done those things tonight? Would you do those things tonight? Friends, it means, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means that you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind in Christ in conduct and life, or have you no longer remained faithful unto God? Are you here tonight? Having done the things that we just mentioned but have fallen away, no longer remaining faithful, would you come home? Would you be His again? What does it mean to be a Christian? Friends, it means you have been crucified with Christ. Are you looking in the right direction? Are you walking in the right direction? Are you doing those things tonight? What does it mean to be a Christian? It means you have on the armor of God. Do you have on that armor? Are you wearing it even now? Are you ready to do battle daily? What does it mean to be a Christian? Friends, it means salvation and a reward in heaven. Do you have that reward? Do you want that reward? Jesus offers it freely tonight. Would you obey His gospel? Would you be baptized in water for the remission of sin? Or do you find yourself unfaithful tonight? Would you come home? Would you be His once more? Friends, if you have a need, whether to obey the gospel, to repent of sin, or if you just need the prayers of the church, would you come now while we stand and while we sing?